is Michael Bozy. Welcome to Marketing Without the Marketing. Very glad you could join me. If you're a regular listener, you know that, hey, on this podcast, I try to teach you everything I know about content marketing in little 10-minute clips at a time. Sometimes I go over my 10 minutes, but that's the idea anyway. All right, let's jump into a topic that is a pretty big one. I want to do a bunch of episodes on this if I can, but I'd like to talk about social media. Social media is a huge, huge part of any content strategy because it's the means by which you are going to reach out to folks, right? You're going to produce content in some sort of central fashion, whether it's on your website or really more specifically on a blog or a podcast or videos or whatever. And the way that you're going to reach people is social media. So it's really, really important part of building an audience. And, you know, I have some principles for how to manage this and some definite philosophies on more about the how you do it, because as I always say, the nuances matter. But really, when you boil it down, social media marketing, and it is marketing, is all about direct engagement with an audience. And it really functions best, you know, when you treat this as a discussion. It's bi-directional. You want to make prospects, customers, readers, listeners, whatever, you want to make them feel like they're a part of the conversation. And when it's working, it builds trust little by little until a prospect becomes a customer. Or even better, this is the sort of the holy grail, right? Is that customer becomes an advocate, which is way more valuable, in fact. Now, there's a lot of evidence that businesses, large and small, are sort of seeing this shift happen, right? Where they're starting to see it actually have a direct impact on revenue. And they start to see not just this engagement, because in a way, you know, that's important, but in a way, who cares, right? You're trying to get to an outcome. When it comes down to it, there's got to be an outcome. But they're starting to see sales and repeat sales happening, which is really, really important. And they're seeing this more in the, you know, in the middle or later stages of the classic quote-unquote funnel. And, you know, I have, I'll throw a link to some data on this, just so it's not me just making this up. I'll throw that in the show notes for you if you want to follow through on that. But the point is really, or at least what it says to me, is that one, customers are way more empowered now, and that two, brands of any type really need to be at the ready because that conversion can happen at any time now, right? And while that's great news, it also kind of poses a challenge for, you know, for marketing teams or, you know, if you're just running a solo business, for instance, you know, how are you going to be everywhere all the time? How are you going to be monitoring every single channel? And now, there's a couple different approaches to this. I mean, one way is to just minimize it, stick to the tried and true, right? So look, the major players are still the major players, right? You got Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, right? Those still dominate in the business world. I got some data on that too. Let me toss a link into the show notes as well. But look, that's not going to surprise you, right? Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. For business, what else is there? Sure, you can add in other platforms too, but those are really what it's all about. But if you were to just stick to the big three, look, you might not get a ton of upside. You'd probably be just fine. But what if you want to do more than just baseline, just match what your competitors are doing? What if you want to do more than that? Well, I've got what I think are sort of four strategies for how to make the determination for selecting channels. And I want to go into this, obviously not in this episode. I want to spend an episode on each one of these. I just think that would be each one of these different channels and do a deeper dive on all these considerations. But let's start with sort of just an overview of this, right? Let's think about sort of the principles behind this, and then you can sort of apply this to any channel. And if you stay tuned and subscribe to this podcast, I'll dig into those as we go, but that's going to take a little while. Let's start with the principles. I think of these as four principles. And the whole idea here is that you really want to maximize your impact and minimize your inputs, right? You want to get efficient, like I said in the last episode, get really efficient because content strategy has got to make you more efficient. That's really part of the goal. It's not just, hey, building this audience. You can't have it taking over your life. You just can't. So let's go over the four different principles that I have here, these strategies for channel selection criteria. Number one, hand over the decision. Like I said, the customer has a lot more power now. And to me, use that as an advantage, not as sort of a limiter. Let your audience make the decision for you. Great. It takes a decision away from you. Isn't that awesome? Every single audience is different, and wherever they convene is where you need to be. It's really that simple. So in charting out your channel strategy, that's really the only consideration when it comes down to it. I mean, all right, maybe that's a little too strong. Maybe it might depend on the content you can produce. But really, when you think about it, if you're producing content, propagating it in a channel where your audience is not, that's, you may as well just shout into the wind. It's just not going to do you any good. And look, building a community is really hard work, and you don't want the extra friction, if you will, of trying to drag your audience over to the platform of your choice, right? If that's not where they want to be, then just get with it and get where they are. They get to choose. Those are the rules. Okay, two, assess your brand competencies. So second biggest consideration, which I just alluded to, what type of content can you produce? Now, as I often say, good content is the oxygen of a content strategy. So what is it that you're good at? You know, for instance, do you have writers in your business, graphic designers? Do you have folks who can do audio? All those things might, you know, make a difference to what type of things you want to produce. So, you know, just think of it as, what can you do to produce excellent content? And here's the other factor, not have it be a huge burden on the organization. So just do an honest assessment. Look around with the people that you work with. And most of the folks that I work with, most of my clients are very, very small businesses. So that's fairly easy. But look, if you, you know, you might hire some help or whatever, but try to stick to the talent that you have internally if you can. If you don't have enough bandwidth to manage this, yes, you might want to hire some help. But try to find what you're good at so that it just reduces the friction on your end as well, so that you can be producing stuff and it doesn't feel heavy because it's easy. If you got writers, people who can write there, let them go to it because that's a natural state for them and it's not going to feel so heavy. Okay, number three, big thing of mine, always treat this like an experiment. Everything that you're going to do is going to start with a hypothesis, right? So if you're trying to figure out where your audience is, start with sort of some educated guesses about where they might be. For instance, it's a commonly sort of expected thing that B2B brands will be on LinkedIn, B2C on Facebook or Instagram, whatever. You could go on and on about different platforms, but here's the thing though. Like I said, every audience is different and your audience may not adhere to those rules. And just because Facebook has 1.5 billion people on it doesn't mean that that's going to be your best channel. So working from a content strategy, right? Strategy, not tactics. I did a whole episode on this. Let me link to that in the show notes. Start to introduce stimuli into the market. So you've got these hypotheses and then you introduce a stimulus. And then you measure it, and then you adjust, and then you iterate. And you do that as needed over and over again. Keep cycling that until you can start to see enough evidence that it's working. I mean, I talk a lot about this, but this is a really important tenet of content marketing. You've got to be measuring it. Otherwise, how are you going to know which direction to head? You don't want this to be sort of willy-nilly. You want to actually treat it like it's an experiment. Okay, and then the fourth thing, and this is important, this is sort of a downstream activity, but seek to eliminate some channels. If your goal is to get really efficient, then a huge factor in whether or not this is going to be actually worth it for you is the time spent. If the outcomes outweigh the time spent, you're in good shape. And if they don't, you're going to feel like this is really heavy, is a waste of time, you're not getting something out of it, you might try to pull resources off of it. I mean, this is a really important thing. And one of the best things you can do about that with regard to social media is to really start to narrow it down to one or two channels. That's going to help you get the most out of each hour spent on this. So if you've run your experiments and you've determined that your audience is not responsive on whatever channel that is, I take that as great news, actually, right? As long as you've done it earnestly, genuinely, and it's not like, oh, I tried it for a week and it didn't work. I mean, really do it. Really put everything that you can into it and see if you can build a community on it. And I'm not talking a week or two or 10 weeks. I'm talking do it for 24 weeks. Really put the energy in to find out and try different things, treat it in this experimental way, and see if it works for you. And if you can determine definitively or fairly definitively that it doesn't work, okay, great. That's another decision made for you. Get rid of it. Just shut it down and move on. Awesome. All right, so I hope that you find this to be a helpful framework. I mean, the thing to me that's really fun and challenging about social media marketing, or at least that part of content strategy, is it requires really, when you think about it, an incredible amount of creativity. Everything changes really rapidly. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. I mean, to me, I think this is, or at least for me, it's kind of a marketer's dream. Now, a lot of people approach this with some trepidation or some resistance or whatever, but to me, that's the thing that I find to be fun about it. So look, let me hear from you. What strategies have you employed to find the right channel for your business or for your clients or whatever? How did you actually go about finding that? Like, how do you know? And think back to when you first started. Because everybody starts the same, right? With no followers, no friends, you got to build it. So how did you sort of make that work for you? I mean, I'd love to learn from your experience. So, you know, look, leave a comment on the show page. Hit me up on Twitter, @mbozy. That's without a doubt my most active channel. Or LinkedIn. LinkedIn's pretty good for me too. But I'd love to hear your take on this. To me, this stuff's a lot of fun. But look, it's got to have an outcome. It's got to be working towards something. And I just hope that you find these to be sort of a helpful framework to actually do that and think about it. So I'll keep going on this thread. Hope you'll hit subscribe. Hope you'll share it. Hope you'll leave a rating or a review in iTunes. That helps people find the show a lot more. And I appreciate you all. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.